Start your day the Torah, Rabbi Yehuda, Cantor.
Shkoyach for the invitation to come back to speak to the Olim here in Torah. I'm happy to be here. And after we can chop a bit of chizik for Rosh Hashanah. Learn the fleisahi mimcho. It's not hidden from you. V'lo rechoykehi. It's not far away, says the Sedra. Kikorov alecha dov ma'od. It's actually very close. There's certain things which are right in front of us, yet remain hidden. When somebody comes from a different country and experiences normal things, things which we're all used to, they see things differently. People are driving on the wrong side of the road. They're speaking with the wrong accent. Everything is different. Everything is interesting. And even the architecture, a person comes from a different country, across the pond, and he sees the houses, everything looks different. Yeah, the way that the style of building. Yeah. And there I was walking down Berry New Road for the first time, looking at the different sites, experiencing the traffic flowing in different directions. And a fire station, even something like a fire station seems different. And there I was, looking at the fire station, and out of nowhere, poof, a smack. Hat flies off, copper flies off, glasses fly off. Somebody hit me. I got smacked on Berry New Road. There I am. Got smacked on Berry New Road. Who was it? A football fan, hoodlum, anti-Semite. Somebody's hitting me. Yeah, I look around dazed, and I look up, and there it is, a tough-looking speed camera. I walked straight into a speed camera. Now, that was my first day in England. Welcome to England, I walk into a speed camera. Now, what do you do when you walk into a speed camera at full speed? Yeah? You look, of course, you look around to see if no one's watching you, because it's quite embarrassing. Yeah? So that was my first experience of, first day in England. I got beat up by not paying attention. Yeah? There's certain experiences which are in front of us. Yeah, we don't appreciate them. We're not aware of them. Until right now, you weren't aware of your feet on the floor. And now you are. It was in front of you the whole time. But the experience of your feet on the floor was beneath the level of your conscious awareness. But now you're aware of it. It was in front of you, but not something you paid attention to. And if we took somebody who came from a completely different place, let's say we could find a native from the Amazon rainforest, and he would come to Manchester for the first time. So instead of hearing the normal sounds, the buzzing of flowers, of the buzzing of bees and insects, birds, he would hear traffic, aggression. Instead of the smells of flower, pollen, what would he smell? Pollution. All the experiences would be new. Something which he'd never experienced before. But we, who live with them, walk on without thinking very much about them. Now even the basic, most basic components of our emunah as well. We can live with them, yet for the vast majority of time, they remain beneath a level of conscious awareness. If you were to hear the world's greatest violinist, you would probably be able to recognize the difference between him and an amateur, a student. Yet, a group of sociologists, scientists, wanted to run an experiment. They took one of the premier violinists in the world, his name is Josh Bell, from New York, and they placed him in the New York subway. The New York subway. And they had him go undercover as a busker, as a normal, any other schlepper in the New York subway, jeans, sneakers, with his case open, asking for tzedakah. And they had him play the most complicated piece of music ever created. Yeah, one of Mozart's concertos. Ah, it's unbelievable, yeah? The best violinist playing the most complicated music ever created. Yeah? And here he was in the New York subway, and the experiment was to see, would anyone know the difference? Would anyone walk by and say, ah, Tucker, that's amazing, it's unbelievable, yeah? Or would they just throw another dime, another quarter, like they do on every other, for every other person or not, yeah? And what they found was that that except for one person, and which happened to be a student of violin, except for the student of violin, every single person just walked by without paying any attention whatsoever. Why so? Because it was lacking the frame. We appreciate something by putting a frame around it. The frame is, this is important, or this is meaningful, or this is somehow special, this is good. But when they lack the context, they lack the frame, then somebody could walk by something which is objectively astounding, yeah, and not pay any attention to it whatsoever. And Chazal says this, Komili dilo ramilav lavadaite. Anything which a person does not focus on, anything which doesn't put his conscious attention to, yeah, will not register in his mind. Lavadaite. As well, the emes of emuna, some basic concepts of Yiddishkeit can be in front of our eyes, yet we may not recognize them. There's a lashon in the Chazon Ish, which I'd like to share with you. And again, a person could run by this very quickly, but when they think about it, there's a lot here. Here we go. When the seichel of an Adam is zoicha, when a person is zoicha to see with the seichel, the amitus mitziusoi misborach, the emes of a kosh bochu, miyad nichnas boy simchus gil enkets. Immediately will come into him, will enter into him a tremendous simcha. When a person recognizes the existence of the boy Olam. Yeah? Kusha zocha, seichel, adam, leros, amitis, mitziyosa, yizborach. Yeah? Simcha's gilein keis. Gewaltig. Yeah? It's a formula for happiness from the Chazon Ish. Just recognize that there's boy Olam. Now, if you were on a plane, yeah, going to Israel, and you happen to be sitting next to a Yid who didn't know very much, but he was interested in Jewish theology, and he saw you, look pretty orthodox, and he said, "Tell me something about Yiddishkeit." Yeah, well, yeah. Tell me something about Yiddishkeit. I want to tell me about Judaism. Yeah, teach me something. So, what would you teach him? Hilchos Ribbis, Lulav. What would you teach him? Rosh Hashanah. You teach him there's a Borei Olam. After there's a Borei Olam, after you teach him about a bit about Shkocha, Kosh Baruch Hu runs the world, after you teach him that there's a Tachlis, there's an Olam Haba, there's Chayav Oinish, there's a Torah, yeah? But what would you teach him? Yeah? The Borei Olam. You wouldn't teach him Hilchos Ribbis. So who was the Chazon Ish speaking to? Yeah? Chazon Ish wasn't speaking to Hans Hashami, the Jerusalem Post, the New York Times. He was speaking to Koilel Younger Light of Bnei Brak. Koilel Younger Light of Bnei Brak. And he says to them, when the person is zoicha to see, the seichel adam to see, the amitis mitziyosa lesborech. So seemingly, a person can walk around, and he's not, he knows that there's a boy oiler, but he doesn't live with it, he doesn't experience it. Just like, if I had to ask you, the experience of the glasses sitting on your nose. Yeah, I've got glasses sitting on your nose. Yeah, until I mentioned it. Were you aware of it? You knew you had glasses on your nose, those of you who wear glasses, but you didn't think of it. It was beneath the level of your conscious awareness. Why so? Kosh Boko has given us an amazing computer. He's given us a supercomputer. And it's the most complicated creation in existence. And this computer can do many things. It can create, design, analyze, fine-tune, and it can even filter out the obvious. There are certain special needs children who have unbelievable abilities of math computation. You ask them, yeah, what is, let's say, 759 times 863? And he'll tell you, on the second, 655,017. Yeah, we have a calculator, check it out. It's true. Yeah, it took me longer to type in my calculator than it would be for him to figure out the computation. They can do it, though. How is it possible? How is it possible somebody who is seemingly lacking in so many abilities. How can he make it? How could it be that he can make a computation so quick? Is his mind so much more refined, so much more intelligent than me? No, seemingly not. He's lacking in so many different areas. Elamai. Kosh Buch reveals to us sometimes what this keli between our ears can do. Yeah, but at the same time, the same keli, its job, yeah, it can filter out things which are obvious. It can filter out speed cameras. It can filter out the sensation of the glasses on your nose. It filters out many things, and this is for a purpose. We know, the Svarim tell us, that Hashem creates barriers. Hashem creates filters. And these filters are there for our good. Of course, the Svarim say they give us Bechira. There weren't filters. There wasn't a screen. Yeah. Then I wouldn't have Bechira, that's for sure. It has other functions as well. Yeah. Chazal say a person can be walking through an empty room, but he's really walking through a crowd. The room could be full of mazikin, could be koichas atuma, which are metzias. He's surrounded by a crowd, but he doesn't see him. Shlo nitra fadaita. Because I wanted that a person shouldn't be able to see these things. That's a Kosh Baruch Hu wanted that we shouldn't be able to see these things. Yeah, but a kelev, a dog, is able to see them with his limited seichel. Even the scientists agree that there's chemicals in the mind which limit the perception. There's a whole marocha, certain chemicals in the mind, which are, their whole function is to prevent us from seeing. Why so? Because if we're sitting here trying to focus on a lecture, it shouldn't be that as we're sitting here trying to focus, every memory which we've ever had comes running back at us. Every single memory we've ever had, every experience, every color, every shade of gray and black and blue and pink in front of you, every sound you hear in the background of people davening, that all shouldn't come back at one time. So the mind has filters. We shouldn't be overcome by sensory overload. Yeah. Why? So when I eat my Cheerios in the morning, I should be able to focus what I'm doing, and I should be able to walk down the street without being in shock. Yeah. Because if every single thing which I've ever thought of would come into my mind, it would be pretty difficult to function. Now, this autistic child who does these math problems, he doesn't have the same filter as we have. One of his programs hasn't been tagged. Kochbuch has shown us the capacity of what the mind has. As well, there were tzaddikim who transcended their filter. Chovas Levavos brings. Now, a person's mekadesh himself. He's able to see things which the eyes can't see. He's able to hear things which the eyes can't hear, which the ears can't hear. In our generation, the Baba Sali, there was a Maisa, there was a commander in the Israeli army, Shomer Shabbos, and they had a shverka. There was a difficulty. Yeah, there was a soldier that got taken captive in Syria, and he was hidden somewhere, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to find him. So this commander, Shomer Shabbos, goes into the Baba Sali, after for brocha, after a bit of siyata shmaya. So he says, wait. The Baba Sali says, wait. I mean, he's been 4 or 5 minutes, and he says, you know where he is? He's in a warehouse on the southern side of the river in Damascus. There's a warehouse on the southern side of the river in Damascus. The Baba Sali had never been to Damascus. He was from Morocco. He went from Morocco to Israel. How does he know where the soldier is? Because he, like the Chovas Levavos says, a person who is Mekadesh himself is able to see things which the eyes can't see. He transcends his filter. He hasn't been tagged. But in order to get to that level, you had to be the Baba Sali. Now, the Baba Sali, his mother, when he grew up in Morocco, used to put a bag over his head when he went on the street. So you shouldn't see the priestess of Morocco in 1910. Yeah, think about it. The priestess of Morocco in 1910, you shouldn't see. Now, if you do that, then you could see things which eyes can't see. Then you come to be the Baba Sali. Yeah? But for most of us, our mind has been tagged. And that's for our good. So that we should be able to function. If I were to ask you, what's going to happen when I drop this tissue? You'll say, it's going to drop. Yeah, it's going to drop. Why? Because you believe in gravity. But you haven't thought about gravity for a long time. But you know it's there. But you don't think about it. So too says the Chazon Ish. When a person comes to realize the Amitis, its use of its Borach, comes to realize that Kosh Borach was here, present in front of him, he's filled with the Simchas Gil Eketz, the Mole Simcha. And Be'emis, and it's not only the Chazon Ish. The same thing is said by the Rambam. Rambam says when a person is misboinin on the Bria, he'll be Nitol Lechorev, he'll be thrown back with awe. Yeah? From what? From a Pasha Dazach. He has to look at what's in front of him. Now, it's not very often a person walks around as Nitol Lechorev. Yeah? But the thing which is the thing which is causing amazement is right in front of us. The Rambam's telling me, when I appreciate that just like the car which I'm driving, which was designed in Tokyo and put together in Gateshead, at least for another couple of months, probably, until Brexit's finished. Yeah, that was designed. So to myself as well. I was also designed. It's a metzius. I'm a creation, and there's a borei olam. And when a person comes to mark this, says a Chazon Ish, miyad nichnes bo simchas gil einketz. So, oftentimes when we speak about niflas borei, we think about things far away. And there's a chiddush in the sugya which I'd like to share from the Kuzari, which is nageya to inyaneinu. Normally, when we think about amazing things which Kosh Baruch has created, we think about things deep underneath the ocean. For example, a whale. A whale swims hundreds of feet beneath the surface of the ocean, far beneath the level where light can reach. And it's complete darkness in the depths of the ocean. So what prevents the whale from smashing into his chaver, head first into his chaver? What prevents it happening? So Kosh Baruch has created for him a sonar system. The world's first sonar system. What happens? He sends out a high-pitched squeak, bounces off of something in front of him, comes back. That translates into a visual image in his mind. So he's aware that there's another whale which is coming straight at him and he has to veer to the right. And that's the sonar system that Kosh Baruch has created for a whale. Yeah, when the U.S. Navy in the 40s and 50s wanted to figure out how to create such a thing, they took a whale, dissected them, and they tried to figure out how is his brain working. Now, there's one other place in the Bria where Kosh Baruch has created such a thing. And this thing has got nothing to do with sea life. It's got a completely different place. Yeah, in a cave, in the depths of a deep, dark cave, is a bat. A bat is also completely blind. Now, he's completely blind by Teva. He can't see Bechlal. Yeah? But what prevents him from slamming into the wall? And forget, he's able to fly through a 3-inch crack in the wall, full speed. Straight through it. Through a 3-inch crack, full speed. 40 miles an hour. How can he do that? He's also got the Zelba. He's got the same exact sonar system. Now, this is a plea. The same exact sonar system Kosh Baruch has given to two different creations, with nothing to do with each other, yet the mechanism of how they're functioning is came out exactly the same. Now, and of course, this creates a tremendous problem for those who would want to say that something like this just came out by itself. Because, let's say for a second, you're in the Sahara Desert, you're walking around, it's all sand, and you come across an F-16 jet plane, a jet fighter, F-16, oh, fine. Now, pretty complicated. And for Shteitzer, to say something like that came about by itself from random combinations of the sand is ridiculous, absurd. But laniach, let's say the world has been here for a long time and there's a lot of combinations. No, laniach for half a second, yeah? But what would happen if there you are with your mobile phone and you want to tell your friend what you've just found in the middle of the desert? And you call your friend who's in Las Vegas. And he's actually in the desert outside of Las Vegas, Nevada. And his friend says, anyway, hey, my friend, you know what I found? I found an F-16 in the middle of the desert here in Nevada. He said, wait, the same thing? Yeah, the engine's the same. The engine's exact same. Yeah? The structure's the same. The wings, the computer, it's the exact same thing. And what? What are you going to say then? The both exactly came out, the exact same thing, randomly, independently? Two independent things of tremendous complexity come about together, the same exact way, in two different places? That's absurd. Yeah, but that's the bat and the whale. Now, these type of inyonim, we know they're plia, and this is what we observe in the natural world. The chaznish, yeah, and really the kuzri. The kuzri is coming on and to tell us a bigger chiddush in the sugya. He tells me, when I want to makir the borei olam, I don't have to go so far. B'bsari exako, I have to look at myself, and not even at my flesh, not even at my organs. There's something even deeper. He says like this. This is the kuzri. He says, look at the processes. They're functions. Look at something like movement. Now, what's it mean? I move. Yeah? Let's say I type. Yeah, I typed up this year. Yeah? What's it mean I type? Yeah? It means my fingers are moving according to something I've memorized many, many years ago. Now, the letters, yeah, are deep inside my memory. I haven't thought about them recently, but they're there. When I type, yeah, the memory, all it takes is a rotson. A, B, C, D, and then what comes out? The letters come out. Now, the memory of that is not stored in my hand. Yeah? The flesh and blood, yeah, the bones, nerves, that doesn't store the information. Obviously, it's stored somewhere between my ears. Now, how does that transfer down? Okay, there's a nervous system, there's nerves, it goes all the way down. Yeah? But where does the rotson come to type? When I type something, it isn't me who wants to type. I want to type A, B, C, D. Now, that's a me who wants to type. Says the Kuzri, observe the processes, the process of wanting to move, of wanting to see, of wanting to think. From that, a person realizes a borei olam. How so? Because I appreciate there's an interface between me, which is a rotson, which is an abstract ruchni, and the thing called my keli, which is the thing I'm inside. There's a computer, there's a system here, which I'm inside of. Then, miyad nichnas simchas gil en keitz. And why is it so? Why is it so when a person comes to such a hakara, yeah, that it'll be filled with such tremendous simcha? What's nekuda? We've heard the Medrash Keheles. The Medrash Keheles tells us that when the neshama comes into the world, it doesn't find happiness. Says the Medrash, it's like a princess who passes through the provinces. She goes through the villages of Wales in her carriage, her entourage. She passes through Aberystwyth, and there's a sheep market. And all the farmers come, all the shepherds come, and they offer a flock of sheep in order for her hand in marriage. But she says, no, I'm from the Elyonim, not interested. Yeah, it's not negated to me. Now, if it would be that she forgot who she was and decided to become, yeah, to join the shepherds of Wales, yeah, and she married one of these nice young men, yeah, the entire time, says the Midrash, in the back of her mind, she'd be thinking, there's something wrong here. It's not right. I'm in the wrong place. Says the Midrash, that's betzim a person's travels through this world. He walks around, but he's in the wrong place. He thinks he's in the right place, but he's in the wrong place. There's a niggling feeling I'm in the wrong place. That is where the simcha comes. Person is makir, the mitzvahs of the Kosh Baruch Hu in the world, it's marker than in himself. And miyad nichnas bo simchas gil en kitz. Why so? Because he realizes, I'm a ruchni, I'm a davar ruchni. I'm not the boss of Adam, I'm something much bigger. So you ask, l'choy, this is dvarim pshutim. Dvarim pshutim, I'm telling you. See, I'm something you've I'm not telling you chedushim. So there was a maisa by a Talmud from Rav Volbe. And one of the Talmidim of Rav Volbe went to him. Yeah, when he was toward the end. And so Rav Volbe asked him, you know, what is it I've been trying to teach you for the last 20 years? Now, this Talmud has been with him for 20 years. Yeah, Kilo, give me a sound bite. Give me a phrase. What's the vort I've been trying to teach you for 20 years? Revolbi asked him. Now, you don't want to get that one wrong. You know what I mean? No, that's not it. No, it's you missed the point in the Kamre. So what do you say? You're stuck. Yeah, it's not so posh to answer that question. So what's the vort I've been trying to teach for 20 years? So Revolbi answered, I'm trying to teach you that there's a reality of ruchness. 20 years. And Bemis in the Gemara says a similar zach, that Rabbi Kiva went to learn by Nochem Ish Gamzu, 20 years. Yeah, Rabbi Kiva, there's plenty of halachas, yeah, which we learn from Rabbi Kiva. There's not one halacha we learn from Nochem Ish Gamzu, except for Gamzu the Toifa. But he went to him for 20 years to learn that halacha. Yeah, 20 years. So Dvarim Pshutim, yeah, oftentimes go beneath the level of our conscious awareness. Things which are poshut, we miss. I spent 5 years by Rav Noach Oelwick in Yerushalayim, and he said b'shem of Rav Avigdor Miller, he says that if a person would look at something for two, three minutes, and if he was able to focus on that thing, a flower, yeah, plant, anything, Rav Avigdor says his life would be different from that point onward. Until he's done that, he hasn't seen the thing. And if you look in Rav Avigdor Miller's biography, he describes about himself. He brings a ma'isa in Slobodka. He said he left the Beis Medrash one day, and he went to the fields outside Slobodka. And he sat there for 2 hours. He said he took a flower, and he studied it for 2 hours. He says that experience he had was the closest thing you can imagine to Ruach HaKodesh. The closest thing a person can come to Ruach HaKodesh, as Rav Avigdor Miller, was the experience he had by sitting with a flower outside Slobodka for 2 hours. There's many things in front of us. Says the Kuzari, we don't have to go so far. It's in here. I think about me moving my hand. But the Kuzari goes deeper. It's not even in my bosser. It's not even in my flesh. It's the process of what's it mean to move. It's movement, yeah, or thinking, or seeing. Miad nichtas basimkas girenkits. And why is this so? So there's a gevalte chiddush here, and I want to share something here, which is to me a gross mitzvah. There's a Talmud of a Talmud of the Gaon, same name, Naftali Tzvi Hertz. Now Naftali Hertz ended up being the Av Beis Din of Yafo. Must have been 1860, 70, yeah, one of these early Talmidim of the Gaon who ended up in Eretz Yisrael. Now, he writes there, Gevaltig, a bunch of unbelievable Zach. He brings that, as you know in Parshas Bereishis, that Gan Eden was guarded by a lahat, a cheriv, a mesapeches. Right, a flaming turning sword. This is Gan Eden, this is Befevish Posek. But we know there's a Gan Eden Atachton. And, says Rav Naftali, the Gan Eden Atachton is not something which is only mugbal by a certain space and time. It's something which is nogea to every single one of us. It's here, beneath the Metzius. The Gan Eden Atachton, says Rav Naftali, is something which is nogea to me. It's beneath all of this. But what's it being guarded by? There's also a lahat aherev amechapeches. What's that? Says Rav Naftali, that is the turning of the mind. The mind goes from thing to thing to thing. It's like a flaming turning sword. The flaming turning sword, which is in a person's mind, says Rav Hertz, that is the lat ha'cherev mechaperes, that the flaming turning sword, which prevents a person from being nichnas to this Gan Eden. Yeah, that's what Avigdor Miller says. Yeah, Ruach HaKodesh, he spent 2 hours focusing on one thing. A flower. What's preventing that? Bilbulim, thoughts, random, pizur nefesh. The way through that is by moving through it, by looking, by observing, by being misboning. There was a maisa by the Chazon Ish. One day he went up to a roof in Bnei Brak, and there was a group of bochrim who were battling. They were smoking cigarettes, hanging out, schmoozing. And he began to describe to them the hana that a person experiences from limud Torah, That's actually, a person learns, says 3 hours. After 3 hours, you feel a certain ravchus. 4 hours, you see mamish nispashet from the gashmis. 5 hours, is mamish like kilo yon ganed. This is chaznish lefishitosei. Whether a person puts himself into a toisus, ruchnis. Whether a person puts himself into the mitzis, that there's a boy or them in front of himself, this is also, this is also Gan Eden. Gan Eden here in front of us. If we open our eyes to it. So David Melech tells us that the Shemayim is Sapirim Kavod Kiel. The heavens exclaim the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chayra, if we were to go 100 miles up, Kol Shekein, we would experience what David Melech is describing. From beneath the clouds, he said, and certainly above the clouds, the moon, craters, the asteroids, Jupiter, Saturn, the sun, myriads of stars. Yet, the first man in space is a Russian cosmonaut named Yuri Gagarin. When he went up to Shemayim, went up to heavens, and he says, where's the Bo'i Olam? I'm not mocking as a Bo'i Olam. It's there, but a person has to be, to focus on it, to realize it's in front of him. And this brings us to a chiddush. In the Gemara, Brochas Daf Lamed Dalid, we see Das Shmuel. Shmuel brings that Ein Bein Ha'olam Azel LeYemotz Mashiach Ela Shibud Malchus Bavad. There's no difference between our Tekufa and Yemotz Mashiach, between our period, between when Mashiach comes, besides Shibud Malchus. Now, the problem is, we can't take Shmuel Kapashtis. Ask the Maharal in Netzach Israel. It's not possible. There's numerous midrashim, Bavli, Yishalmi, midrashim, all over the place. Brings in, there's multiple things will be different about Yemos and Mashiach. How can you say there's no difference? What's Shmuel saying? There's no difference between now and then? Some of the things the midrashim bring, the Yetzirah will be removed from a mensch, the fruit on the trees will grow every day, Noshim will give birth every day, it's Gemara on Shabbos, the nature of animals will change completely, a predator will be completely tamed. So what does Shmuel mean that there's no difference between now and Yemos Mashiach? So Zokta Maral in Netzach, he says that what's going to be is that there'll be no new additions in the Bria. There'll be no new additions in the Bria. What's that mean? Is that the situation which already was here by Adam and Rishon, let's call that state A, will be come back. Now, in our situation of Galus, it's gone from A to B. It was there by Adam and Rishon, state A. It's gone to state B. And what's going to happen by Yemos Mashiach is it'll go back to like it was by Adam and Rishon, Kodem Echet. Right? And that's Zokta Maral. That's what Shmuel means to say, that there'll be no new additions between now and the Yemos Mashiach. It'll go back to like it was. Now, the problem is, if we take the Maral Kapashtis, it's very difficult. I would say that's a complete difference. If now is something completely different than what was originally, it went from A to B to back to A. That's completely different. B is not A. It was something, and now it's not. It's if it's now Golus, and Golus has nothing to do with what was originally. Very nice, you go back to a historical state, but if that historical state has no reality in the present, then it's a complete chazara. So what's the Maral mean? So I wanted to forenter by saying to bring this Naftali Svi Hertz. And maybe say the title a bit different. If it's true that the Metzius of Ruchnius, of Gan Eden, is something not a replacement, it's here as well. The original state hasn't disappeared. Rather, there's been a Tosefis. It's not that the A was replaced by B, there's A plus B. The B of our Golus is covering up the A. And then, if you were to say that when Mashiach comes, it will return back to the original state. All you have to do is remove the layer. Remove that extra layer. It's A plus B, and minus the B. You're back to A. Because A was here the entire time. As Rav Naftali Svi Hertz says, the Metzius of Ruchnius Gan Eden, it's here. It's not hidden, it's not something different, it's not a different place. It's here, but it's beneath the Golus. The Golus, the Metzius of which we're standing in now, is a covering. So if I remove that cover, I reveal what's beneath it. So therefore, we can understand why there's no difference between now and Yemos Mashiach. Because the thing which was here by Ganeid, by Adam Rishon, by Golus, and Yemos Mashiach, it will always be there. It's a shtendik, it's a constant Metzius. It's here. It's just that the foreskin has been removed. Which is like it says in our Sedra, that Gula is like a Mila. Gula is like a Mila. Umal Hashem es levavichem es levav zorecho. Yeah, Kosh Baruch Hu will remove the foreskin. He'll make a milah. That's what Geula is. Geula removes the layer which is covering up the mitzvahs. Like Rav Naftali Svi says. Now, this be'emes is a gewaltig achana for Rosh Hashanah. I'll tie that in and I'll finish up with the mechilta. The mechilta brings a maisa. The maisa is the following. A politician comes to the shtot, to a village, to a kfar, and he says, I want to be your leader. So they say to him, Mechitesu, you want to be our leader? Who are you? They send him away. So he consults his cabinet, yeah, he consults his sarim, and the advisors come up with a plan. So he said, you know, go build a bridge for them. Go build a swimming pool for them. Yeah, dig a couple of new wells for them. Go and show them that you care about them. Do something for them. Yeah? So the next day, the building crews descend on the village, and the shtot is, yeah, behold, what's going on here? All these new things, amazing. Yeah, what? You're doing it for us. Ah, you're doing it for us. Thank you very much. We makir what you're doing for us. So too, says the Mechilta, it's in Yisro, Pash Yisro. By Sinai, Akosh Baruch Hu says, I would like you to bekabel me as an am, as a melech of the am. But, look at what I've done for you. I brought you out of Mitzrayim. I split the sea for you. I've given you the man for all these years. And then, after all this, Umal Chuso Berotzen Kiblu Aleihem. They came to Akara, oh, Kosh Baruch Hu wants to be mate of me. Then they came to a Kabbalah Satorah Berotzen. And the Kabbalah Satorah Berotzen is Be'emis, yeah, the ultimate Kelm, Shtel's in this Nakuda. The Kabbalah Malchus of Berotzen is the beginning of any Kabbalah Malchus. Where a person wants to, in Rosh Hashanah, we speak about being a Kabbal, the Eibishter as our Melech. But in order to be able to do that, says the Mechilta, a person first has to come to Makir, what a Kosh Baruch Hu has done for him. He has to Makir, Kosh Baruch Hu has made me a swimming pool, he's dug me a well, he's enlarged my bridge. Yeah, he's given me parnosa, he's given me mishpocha, he's given me my health. All the things in my life which I'm normally not used to seeing, on those very same things, a person has to focus on, and from them, he comes to a Kabbalah's machusay, berotzen b'lev shalem. And this be'emes is the Ganzi so from Chavos Levavos. The Chavos Levavos shtels avek his whole sefer on the union of a karas tov. And that be'emisin is the achonah. That's the achonah for Rosh Hashanah. The first thing a person has to do, and before being makabel the mitzvahs, it's just being makabel b'leiv shalom that the boy oilem wants to be mate of you. And in order to be makabel that, a person has to walk around. When they walk around, they have to appreciate that the things which they're used to looking at. Yeah, whether it's you know, whether it's their movement, their hands, their eyes, the things in their life, the family that they have, everything that they have is not a given. And a person comes to look at the things which they have, and then they say, "I'm a tzaka, the boy that wants to be mate of me." That's what the Mechilta says. And from then, he's willing to be kabel, yeah, Kosh Baruch Hu's rots and belief shalom. Every bit of work we do in the sugya, every bit of additional awareness, is another shtikel mila. It takes away another layer, takes away another level of the covering, of the timtum alev, which we have. But when we remove that layer, miyad nichnes bo simples gil inkit, says the Chazon Ish. Person will come to Makir, Borei Olam's here, he's in front of us, he wants to be mate of me. And the experience itself of what I've had in front of me is mole simcha, and with endless amkus. Mishem, we should be mekabel medicine to steig in the sugya abyssal to mekabel all mechusoy. We should be zoich at a beers girl tzedek from here amen amen. Oh, hey. Oh, hey.